With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm joined by Louis this week. Louis, I'm going to chuck it over to you first of all to take us through the weekend results.
Yeah, some fantastic results this weekend. A lot of changes in the table once again, but back to Saturday, the 12:30 kickoff. The derby involving Derby away at Nottingham Forest. Forest winning 1-0 in that fixture. Then James's side, Preston North End beating Huddersfield 3-1 on Saturday. Also, QPR and Middlesbrough with a score draw that one ending in two goals apiece. Reading with a comfortable 3-0 victory at home to Luton. Sheffield Wednesday and Swansea in an entertaining 2-2 draw also. Brentford, who continue to climb the table, two sendings off in this game as well, ran out 3-0 winners away to Wigan. Stoke, you know, their form's increasing slightly, but managed to get a 4-2 victory away to Barnsley. That's more goals than anyone's seen Stoke score this season. Fulham with a big win, 1-0 away at a tough Birmingham side. West Brom remaining top of the table with a decent 1-0 away victory at Hull City. Also, another side at the top, Leeds United, running out 2-1 winners against Blackburn Rovers. Millwall also winning 2-1 against a decent Charlton side this season, which then took us to the Sunday fixture at 12 o'clock, where Bristol City managed to get a 1-0 victory away to Cardiff City. And that's that, James.
Yeah, there were a couple of games that stood out for me, sort of in particular, looking through sort of the weekend results. I think the first one, me and Jake touched on it last week in the previews, was the Barnsley-Stoke game. You know, seems daft to say sort of November that it's a six-pointer, but with the form of the two sides, obviously, going into the game, they were the only two sides left in single figures in the league, and looking to be sort of cut adrift was the Barnsley-Stoke game. And the way Stoke started, you know, to go 2-0 up sort of midway through the first half, Michael O'Neill making an immediate impact there. You know, can't speak highly enough of him from a few mates who are Northern Irish. You know, speaking to them, seems like a very good manager and a good appointment for Stoke. A bit of a gamble considering he's not really managed at club level for the recent past. But, you know, if he can continue to get them playing like they did on Saturday at Barnsley, you know, they should, you know, hopefully for them, be okay. I think, you know, to go away from home in any league and score four goals, especially for a team that have been struggling to score, was fantastic for them. Obviously, Barnsley right sort of with them in that relegation zone, so massive boost of confidence for them. And then you look at the teams that they're not too far off now, you know, coming back after the international break, a win can take them up to 21st. Obviously, it'd have to be a comprehensive win, and you know, Luton would have to go down by a couple of goals. But there's that incentive there now for Stoke to really kick on. You know, you look down the lineup that O'Neill had to choose from, and you know, there are talented players there, and I don't think, you know, with that squad, they should be anywhere near the relegation zone. Obviously, the way that they played this season warrants them being down there. But if you look on paper, you know, the likes of Tom Ince, Joe Allen, Jack Butland, you know, Premier League players who have really struggled this season, and hopefully for them, O'Neill is that person to turn the corner for them. So really impressed with Stoke, with O'Neill coming in, you know, short sort of notice before the game, and obviously got them playing the way they did. Another result which stood out for me was Millwall getting the 2-1 victory against Charlton. Obviously, Charlton have been one of the surprise packages of the season so far. Recent weeks, they've just come off the boil a little bit, still find themselves in 11th, though, now, which, you know, by all accounts, is a very good position for a team that's just been promoted. Millwall, obviously, you know, about mid-table-ish at the moment. to get that early goal and then to be pegged back in the second half, you know, I thought maybe Charlton, especially seeing how they played against us the other weekend, you know, I thought they were completely in the game against us on the Sunday 2 weeks ago. So I thought getting that equaliser, you know, Charlton would go on and win the game. But for Millwall to dig in, get that 91st minute winner, I think if they are to have a decent season, which for them at the moment where they are, I think it'd be sort of that upper half of mid-table between about 10th to 14th. If they are to you know, aspire to finish there, results like that are going to be vitally important. So impressed with them. Obviously, Charlton are a good side at this level this season, so great result for them. And then on a selfish point of view, I thought we played fantastically well against Huddersfield. Didn't let them have a shot on goal in the first half. A team that the Cowley brothers, obviously me and Jake touched on it last week, have done fantastically well. They were unbeaten in 7 going into the game against us. We were unbeaten at home, so you know something was going to have to give. And fantastic again by us. Jaden Stockley, you know, I've been one of his biggest critics this season. Sort of the few times I'd seen him play this season, he just didn't look up to the pace of it whatsoever. But fair play to him. The last couple of weeks, he's been one of the best players in our match day squad. Getting that early goal 4 minutes in, first one to react in the box and get a header. Gallagher's free kick coming back off the post, and that really set the tone for us in the first half. I mean, that first half performance is as good as I've seen us play all season. And if we are to, obviously we'll get onto it in a bit, aspire to keep up with that top sort of pack that are slightly pulling away now, you know, performances like that are going to be vital for us. Huddersfield grew into it in the second half, but, you know, we ran out comfortable winners in the end. They're the three performances, Lou, that stood out for me. Are there any in particular that stood out for you that I've not touched on, or would you sort of go with
there is, James. Yeah, I've got a couple, actually. The first one I'm going to mention, it's more of a surprise than a big win that, you know, that I might mention it, and that's West Brom's victory at Hull. I know, you know, West Brom are first in the league and many people probably had them down to win, but I just wanted to mention them because that's the kind of game that, you know, if you can pick up them 1-0 wins away at teams like your Hulls and your Birminghams and your Cardiffs who are around mid-table, that's, you know, that's promotion winning form as such. And you look at West Brom's form and they're unbeaten in a handful, you know, and plenty of games now. And I just thought it stood out for the right reasons for West Brom, because, you know, they sometimes struggle to keep clean sheets, and Hull City, I think, are going to be one of those sticky teams this season where, you know, a lot of clubs will go to the KC Stadium and they will struggle to pick up points. And yeah, for that reason alone, I think I just had to mention West Brom. And not only that, the goal itself through Jake Livermore on 28 minutes, it was an absolute beauty. So if you've not seen that, check that out. But I thought I'd give them a mention. And then the other one, I seem to be mentioning Brentford every week at the minute, because I always said, you know, you need to keep a watchful eye on them. And I think they, you know, they were world apart from Wigan. You'd have thought they were in different leagues. Like, we all know that Brentford have got a few class players, but on the day, the 3-0 victory at Wigan, for me, Brentford just keeping improving and improving every single week. We know what they're capable of. They were sat around 17th, 18th only 4 or 5 weeks ago. But since then, yeah, they've come into their own. And again, I keep mentioning it, but their clean sheet record, another clean sheet against Wigan, only conceded 13 goals in 16 games played so far. And I really, really still think, for me, that Brentford are going to be the team that potentially push and get into the playoffs and could be a playoff finalist this season. So again, yeah, I just think it's one of the teams to keep a lookout for, basically. But yeah, that's it for me, James, regarding big wins or surprises.
Yeah, so then to move on to individual performances, there's a couple for me, but I'll let you go first on this one to see, obviously, if you're going to go for the same as me. I've got three players in particular that stood out. Okay. Are there any in particular for you that you want to single out this week?
I've got four written down. I'm sure we've got some similar, James. But first one I'll mention, because he's come under loads of criticism recently, maybe for the right or wrong reasons, you'd have to ask a Leeds United fan, but Bamford, he finally got his goal, although from the penalty spot, and an assist as well. I thought his assist was fantastic. His touch to bring it down and his perfectly weighted pass to Harrison to score the goal. I thought, I cannot mention Bamford. Another player that Well, I'm going to put it out there that the player of the round of games for me, actually, I'm going to say it because you've probably got him listed as well, simply because I thought his two goals were outstanding, which is Sam Clucas. I know we've mentioned Stoke City already, but his first goal where he lobbed the keeper, and you know, I know it was the keeper's fault as such, but that was fantastic, and then obviously his second goal to go with it was a thunder strike as well. So I'm going to mention those two and see what other players you come up with before I mention my final two, James. I don't know if you've already had Clucas or Bamford written down.
Yeah, I did have Clucas as one of my three. I didn't actually have Bamford, but obviously good point about him getting the goal finally and chipping in with an assist as well. The other two that I was going to mention as well as Clucas, first of all, Son Belonga getting a brace.
I've got him down as well.
not to mention him. Yeah, Middlesbrough obviously struggled this season. QPR having a very good season so far. You know, they're just outside the playoffs, I think. 4 points outside. Obviously, they were a bit closer before this draw at the weekend. But, you know, for Son Belonga to go there and the Middlesbrough team that are struggling, I don't think they will be down there come the end of the season. But, you know, only two wins so far this season is sort of a bit worrying at this stage, you know, for a team that should have been challenging for the playoffs, if not higher. Son Belonga obviously getting the two goals and, you know, the equaliser midway through the second half. After being 1-0 up, for them to go 2-1 down, you know, where they sort of are in the league at the moment, you know, it would be easy for the heads to drop. But him getting those two goals and QPR looking down the league at the moment, he's probably one of the hardest places to go, which I didn't think I'd be saying at the start of the season when we did our previews. So definitely, you know, a great performance by him getting those. And if Middlesbrough are to climb up the table, you know, they need him sort of on fire, banging in the goals. So if he can continue that, I think Middlesbrough will start to push towards the playoff places. Secondly, Mitrovic for Fulham. He could have had two goals. One was just short off for offside. And then he got the winner sort of early in the second half as well. You know, one player of the month. And again, similar to Son Belonga, if Fulham are to have aspirations of returning to the Premier League, you know, they sit just outside the playoffs at the moment on 26 points. I think Bristol and Nottingham Forest are a couple of points ahead on 28. So if they are to, you know, keep up that pressure on the playoff pack and, you know, push in and have those aspirations of getting back to the Premier League, Mitrovic needs to be key for them. He started the season really well. You know, I think he's into getting on for double figures now for the season, if not 12, actually. Yeah, couple that with his 5 yellow cards, which shows, you know, what kind of player he is. So, if they are to you know, get into those playoffs, they need him, similar to Son Belonga, you know, putting them away and could have had two goals. Unlucky not to get the first, but then, you know, came back and got that goal. And it was a good 1-0 win for Fulham against, you know, a hit and miss Birmingham side. So, yeah, they were the other two. Obviously, you mentioned the Son Belonga. Was there anyone else that I've not mentioned there?
Yeah, just one more, because I've not mentioned him for a while. And I'm going to say John Swift. He got his two assists for Reading in that 3-0 victory against Luton. And I think he's been, you know, pivotal part to their, well, dare I say it, success. I know they're 17th in the league, but he's managed to get almost a third of the assists for the goals that Reading have scored. So, like I said, we haven't really spoke about him since the beginning of the season when he started really well. So I just thought I'd mention him again because I thought he had a fantastic game.
Yeah, definitely. He played fantastically well when we went down there a few weeks ago and chatting to Simeon as well. He, you know, comes on the show from time to time. Not many fans were too happy with that managerial appointment, but, you know, fair play to him. He's turned it around for them and you know, players like Swift are key for them climbing up the table. In terms then of sort of the main news over the last week since me and Jake recorded, two managerial changes. Neil Warnock leaving Cardiff City a couple of days ago and Michael O'Neill been appointed by Stoke. I think we'll touch on Neil Warnock first because it's the most recent as we're recording this on Tuesday. Obviously, it seems to be that he left by mutual consent. You know, 70 years old now, I don't think that he'll probably come back into management at this stage of his career. Obviously, never say never, but, you know, he did fantastically well at Cardiff. They are struggling this season down, I think, in sort of 13th, 14th place at the moment. You know, for a team that came down from the Premier League, I think they'd want to be a lot higher than that at the moment. Obviously, they're not too far away from the playoffs. Only 7 points, which, you know, shows how tight the table is at the moment. Do you think it was right for him to go at this stage of the season? And sort of in terms of managerial appointments for Cardiff now, do you think that they go for an experienced Championship manager? I know Neil Harris has been linked. Or would you like to see them sort of go from someone down, say, in the lower leagues who can take the club forward?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, well, first of all, I'll answer the question regarding Warnock leaving. Yeah, I would say it is about the right time. I think, you know, he's had 16 games to see where they were in the table. You could say that they've had a bang average start. They've, you know, won 5, lost 5, scored 23, conceded 23, therefore a 0 goal difference. They're not in a bad position. Yes, they are 14th, but with that, they're still only, you know, 6 or 7 points behind the playoffs. So whoever comes in, there's an opportunity still and, you know, an aim and an objective to finish in that top six, I'm sure will still be the priority. So it's interesting that, well, unfortunately, should I say, that we haven't got Jake on the show. He's not been on, you know, he's usually on the show and, you know, this week he's not. But he's normally mentions when we've done, you know, talked about the next manager to leave or to be sacked, etc. He's always said that Warnock would potentially leave around Christmas. Yes, I know we've not quite got there yet. But with him leaving by mutual consent, he's proved himself right. Yes, in many ways, you could say that Cardiff are underachieving and many people would have thought they were in the top six by now. But to answer your second question, I would like to see Harris given the job. I know he's favourite, quite firm favourite at the minute as well, with Chris Hughton in second around 6-1. And I don't think he'd take that job, Hughton. He's already turned down Sheffield Wednesday and West Brom previously. So if he were to take Cardiff, I'd be quite surprised. But I think Harris deserves that chance. I think he did, you know, so well with Millwall. In many ways, I think Millwall, he overachieved there at keeping him in this division. And he kind of went under the radar a little bit. And I know Harris is a Millwall fan and, you know, collectively that worked. But why can't he, you know, with a better squad, let's say, maybe a little bit of money to spend in January, I'd really like to see Neil Harris given a chance. And with that, I think, you know, if he was appointed, I don't see why Cardiff can't push for the playoffs still this season. Like I say, there's not too many points behind the likes of Nottingham Forest and Bristol City, even though the tables, you know, it seems to change every week. So, yeah. You know, with during the international break, as we record, it's always an opportunity for you know, a chairman to make a change. So, you know, if they appoint somebody in this next, let's say, 5 to 7 days, then yes, it could prove to be a very good time. So for me, yeah, it'd be nice to see Harris given the job, simply because I like the guy and I think he just deserves that chance.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you in terms of the Harris appointment. You know, did fantastically well at Millwall. And I think, you know, leaving Millwall seemed to be mutual consent for him as well. So, you know, it wasn't as if he was sort of sacked for a team that were struggling. So I think, yeah, definitely he does deserve that chance. And just looking down Cardiff's next few fixtures as well, there's a few winnable games there, you know, coming up. They go to Charlton away after an international break, and then either side of a Nottingham Forest away trip, they've got home games against Stoke and Barnsley, the bottom two. So, you know, it seems to be a perfect time for a manager coming in. Obviously, if they can get that appointment made sooner rather than later over this international break, you know, sort of a week and a half for them to come in, you know, get round sort of the majority of the group who aren't away on international duty. And looking at those fixtures, you know, I'd say they could easily pick up, you know, sort of 7-8 points from those four games, and for a team sort of in mid-table at the moment, you know, not a million miles away from the playoff, that'd be a great return, you know, on a manager's first few games. Obviously, after that, you know, tricky fixtures, away trips to Brentford and Leeds. So that real sort of onus is there on Cardiff to make the right appointment, get that manager in, and you know, see where those four games can take them. You know, if they build confidence going into that Brentford and Leeds doubleheader just sort of midway through December, you know, there's no reason they can't pick up points there. The squad they've got by large is still that squad that they had in the Premier League last season. So, you know, I think it's a fantastic opportunity for a manager coming in, obviously not too far from the transfer window as well. And I think Neil Harris, you know, definitely deserves an opportunity. I think, as you mentioned, Chris Hughton, if he's turned down sort of jobs of Sheffield Wednesday and Swansea sort of standard already, I think, you know, he wouldn't really go for that Cardiff job unless that is the kind of job that he was holding out for. Obviously, we don't know, but I think Neil Harris would be best suited to take Cardiff over, and certainly given a chance to see how he can step up to, you know, a new challenge. In terms then of a team that have appointed a new manager already, Stoke, obviously I touched on earlier, got that fantastic win away at Barnsley at the weekend. Michael O'Neill come in, you know, took a bit of a gamble on him. Obviously, time will tell if that's the right gamble. Fantastic manager, but obviously an international manager by trade who has managed that Northern Ireland team for, you know, several years, done wonderful things with them, and you know built his stock up to no end. Do you think that he is that right man to take over that Stoke job? Me and Jake mentioned last week, obviously before O'Neill came in, when Alex Neil from Preston was linked as well, that, you know, Stoke needed to make an appointment for more of sort of steadying the ship. So, you know, the like sort of a manager that knows the division well, will get them out of trouble, and then, you know, going into say next season, building forwards then, because first and foremost would be staying in the division and not doing, you know, the likes of Sunderland and dropping down into League One. Do you think O'Neill is that right man to take them forwards, or do you still see that as a bit of a gamble going forward in the long term?
I'm split, James, if I'm honest. It's a difficult one. I think potentially he's the right man if he was managing Stoke alone. You know, he's got great credentials, done well, like you say, with Northern Ireland. But I am right in thinking that he's still doing the dual role, isn't he?
As far as I've heard.
Yeah, and that's what I'm a bit confused by, because this doesn't happen a lot these days, does it? It was something that was, you know, branded around in the 90s, where you managed an international team and a club at the same time, and prior to that. But, you know, since then, it's unheard of a little bit. And I'm for that reason, that's why I'm split, thinking, is this a good appointment or not? Because you can say in many ways that, the international job, it's you know, there's a lot of rest periods, and it's great for some managers. But then to be doing both, for me, when I heard the news, I thought that he'd left Northern Ireland and he was going to be taking over Stoke on a permanent basis. And I thought, yes, that's a good appointment. But then, like I say, with this dual role, I'm not sure, you know, he needs to surely be giving Stoke City 110% at this stage, particularly where they are sat in the league table. I think, you know, unless I'm missing something, it's going to be a case that, you know, once the qualifiers are over, and if they don't make it to the Euros, etc., then it will permanently take over Stoke. You know, in regards to that, I'm not sure. But yeah, to answer your question, like I say, I'm 50-50, just because I've got simply these question marks over managing two clubs at the same time. So I'm interested to see what you're going to say about that. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you know, he's definitely deserved the chance of managing a club side. You know, as I said, he's done fantastically well for Northern Ireland from where he took over them to where they are now. You know, still considered a relatively sort of small side in terms of international stature. For him to, you know, go toe-to-toe with the likes of Germany and Holland and such in recent qualifying campaigns is testament to his managerial sort of credentials. And I think definitely he does deserve this chance. Obviously, as you mentioned, the concern for me is Stoke are 23rd in the league at the moment. You know, they're 3 points from safety.
Yeah.
A team that have been, you know, well below their standards this season. And it's not as if, you know, he's managing, say, like a, I don't know, looking down the table, like a QPR or Birmingham, for example, a team that are, you know, nicely positioned in mid-table, and he's got sort of that Northern Ireland responsibility at the moment. I think for a team of Stoke standing, a team that, you know, with their fan base won't be, you know, content with being down at the bottom of the table and wouldn't have expected to be in a relegation fight this season, I think it is a bit of a gamble that sort of O'Neill is taking and Stoke as well. So I will be interested to see how it goes, you know, over the next sort of period between now and coming sort of the other side of the Christmas period. You know, the games come thick and fast, and you know, while this is the last international break until March, I believe, certainly for England, I don't know if Northern Ireland have any sort of in the meantime, but you know, the international breaks tend to fall with all the same teams and countries taking a break and playing at the same time. So obviously he's got that focus solely then after this international break on Stoke City. But for a manager coming in who's only had one game and had, you know, a relatively short period of time with the players, I would have thought, you know, an international break would be prime opportunity to get the players in, you know, get his system and style of play across for the players. So I think, you know, if they go back after that international break, carry on, you know, losing. Obviously, I said earlier that the Barnsley result is a fantastic building block. But, you know, if they follow that up with a defeat, you know, they're back to square one, really. So, yeah, I think the next two or three games for Stoke are going to be absolutely crucial, and they're going to kind of set the tone for this sort of winter period. So, you know, obviously, all the best of luck to Michael O'Neill. I think he is a fantastic manager. I do just worry there's that thought in the back of my mind that you know, juggling both of them at the same time is sort of playing with fire and asking for trouble, especially
I agree
with the like of Stoke. So obviously Nathan Jones showed it. He came in, you know, good pedigree. Obviously he didn't have that international distraction, but you know, obviously it didn't work out for him. So yeah, definitely is one to watch over the next few weeks. But with that, obviously just before we wrap up, you know, the table is starting to take shape now. I still am pinching myself that Preston are where we are. sort of made me laugh at the weekend. I think, you know, Leeds, who did think they'd be in the top two, obviously the level on points with us. I think our stat that I was talking to you about off air, that we've had 8 penalties in 16 games so far this season, somehow found its way to Leeds Twitter. And, you know, our hashtag and timeline on Twitter was just full of Leeds fans, you know, saying it was an EFL conspiracy that we're as high as we are. And you know, sort of going off with that. Obviously, I still am expecting the bubble to burst. I'm quite a, you know, pessimistic Preston fan. But with the way we're playing at the moment, you know, we fully deserve to be second. Top of the table, first of all, that top three, West Brom, Preston, North End and Leeds, 2 points clear of Swansea in fourth at the moment. Do you expect that top three to stay as it is sort of for the majority of the season, or do you expect one of those teams in and around the playoffs, if not several, to come in and sort of disrupt that?
You know what, it's so interesting, isn't it? I'm just looking at it now in front of me and I'm weighing things up. I think you can ultimately say, nothing against Preston, they've been fantastic, and you know, they've scored more goals than anyone in the division. But based on the statistics, which you know I like, James, I look at West Brom, who were first, and what makes me think they're going to be right up there, first or second this season, and I've always said it, is they just don't lose games, do they? They've lost one game all season in 16, which you think, you know, that in even in that regard, they're kind of going under the radar a little bit, even though they're sat in first position. I think you tend to forget that in this league where it is so difficult to pick up points week in, week out against all the teams in this division, that they've still only lost one game. And I think, yes, ultimately that West Brom are going to be the team to beat. Second to that, and I know they're sat just a point or level on points with Preston, I also still look at Leeds, and I know they've lost a couple more games. They've lost three in total, as have Preston. But for me, Leeds only have to get one thing right, and they're going to be right up there as well. And that's obviously finishing their goal scoring opportunities. They've only conceded 9 goals in 16 games, which again, like West Brom, but a different statistic, is incredible. It's just a shame, you know, for their sake, that they've only managed to score 21, which is crazy. That Luton Town have scored more goals than Leeds United this season, who are currently sat in 21st. So it just goes to show how well defensively they're doing. And I do think over time, with a January transfer window coming up, and, you know, you could say a little bit more luck on their side, Leeds United and West Brom are going to be the teams to beat, if you like. But with that, you know, we look at your side, Preston North End, doing fantastically well, like you say. I didn't think that they'd be second at this point. I think, you know, Preston, a team what are always going to push playoffs for me between, you know, fourth and 10th in the league. So they're doing really well. And they've won three on the bounce. So they, for me, keep getting better and better, even though you've said they've got a few games coming up that are difficult. But other than that, I think you've got to look at that bunch in the teams that have only lost between one and three games this season. And they're all in the top six. I mean, Bristol City as well, only lost two games. Forest lost three, Swansea three, Leeds and Preston three. They, for me, are going to be the breakaway teams. The only other one what could give it a push if they have a bit more, if they improve on their form week in, week out, would be Fulham with the likes of Mitrovic and the firepower that they've got. But we always say, don't we, the league table does not lie. And in this case, it simply doesn't. Yeah, those top six, for me, are the best teams in the league. But ultimately, the top two that I think will be there at the end of the season, it has to be West Brom and Leeds United if they continue on this current trend that they're on recently from the beginning of the season, should I say.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, looking at Preston's fixtures coming up, we've got two away games at Derby and Hull, then we play West Brom, then we go to QPR, and then we've got Fulham at home. So a tricky sort of run of fixtures coming up. I think if we can get out of that and still be in second place, you know, I might start to believe. Then the one thing that worries me is after the international break, looking down Leeds' fixtures, I think if a Leeds fan could have chose their fixtures between now and sort of middle of December, you know, I think they would have chose this run. They've got Luton and Reading away, Middlesbrough at home, who are obviously struggling, Huddersfield away, Hull at home, Cardiff at home. So quite a favourable run of fixtures. West Brom, you know, sort of looking at them, you know, not easy by any stretch of the imagination. They play you, who, difficult team to beat. They play Bristol City. Then sort of the crunch one for us, they play us on a Tuesday night at the start of December. And then they've got Swansea at home as well. So they've got three home games out of four coming up. But they are teams sort of in and around the playoffs. So while it is good for them having those home games, it is teams around them. So, you know, if they come out of that with three or four wins, you know, they're going to sort of pull away. But, you know, at the same time, if they get pegged back in any of those games, there are those teams breathing right down the neck. So I think middle of December, I think, will be better sort of to gauge where those teams are going to finish. I think, you know, that next run of five for each of those three teams is going to be absolutely crucial. So sort of to flip it to the other side, then, obviously, we touched on Stoke and Barnsley a bit earlier. The likes of Luton and Wigan, you know, we thought would be down sort of near the bottom of the table this season. Huddersfield are starting to pick up a little bit. Middlesbrough, as I mentioned, you know, I'm quite surprised they're still down there, really. I think they will come good in the end. I think Jonathan Woodgate is sort of finding it a little bit more challenging than they thought. But, you know, with the talent that Middlesbrough have got, I can't see them being down there for too much longer. Do you expect sort of that bottom sort of portion to stay as it is with the likes of obviously Wigan, Luton, Stoke, Barnsley? Or do you think that Middlesbrough will get sucked into it? Or do you think that sort of a team in mid-table will get dragged in?
No, I think, there's a few teams that I am worried for. And obviously one of them is Barnsley. You look at them, 24th in the league, 9 points, conceded 33. I mean, they play some good footballs at times and they can score goals. It's just simply that they concede too many. I don't think they've got enough quality in depth at Barnsley. So I really worry for them and expect them to go down this season. The thing with Stoke is they've made the change, like we've talked about already with Michael O'Neill, but they've probably made the change at the right time. And I can only see Stoke, well, they can't get much worse in terms of going down the league. So they ultimately might do what Huddersfield have done. You know, we were going to talk about Huddersfield as one of the topics tonight, but obviously we're short on time. So, but Huddersfield, I'll mention them, is that, you know, Cowley's done a great job. He got manager of the month, didn't he, for October. Run beaten in about five games, I believe. Winning three of those. So they've come right out of it. But because they've come out of it, you've got to look at the likes of Wigan, Luton, Middlesbrough and Barnsley now are the ones that I really fear for. Like I say, I think Stoke can push out of that. They've won three out of the last six games. So they're slowly going in the right direction. And for me, only one way will be up for them. And they'll creep out of the relegation zone. You mentioned Middlesbrough and you think they won't be there for long, but I still do. Week in, week out, I've always said there's something missing at Middlesbrough. Won two games all season, simply not scoring enough goals. And you wouldn't think it with a player like Son Belonga up front. Yes, he grabbed a couple this weekend, but they just... I said about 3 weeks ago on the show that you'd expect them to be looking up the table. I think they're still looking over the shoulder at the likes of Stoke and Barnsley, you know. I don't know, if I'm honest, how Woodgate has not been sacked in this international break yet. I mean, it might happen, or it might happen in the next one or nearer Christmas. And it's not that I want him to get sacked. I think managers should be given time. But when you sack 22nd, you know, after 16 games, and you're a team really what should be, if I'm, you know, even being polite and realistic, you should be around halfway in the table, I'd say, with the players that they've got. So for me, for the remainder of the season, I'm going to say that Wigan, Luton, Middlesbrough and Barnsley, three out of those four are going to go down. And I wouldn't like to pick the three, but I think Huddersfield are going to be able to have done enough under Cowley. He's really turned their fortunes around. And I think O'Neill can do at least the same to get them out of the bottom three. So, yeah, that would be the group for me that are really going to struggle for the remainder of the season.
Well, moving on then into the sort of previews for after the international break, and I'll go to the one that you listed third then. Middlesbrough at home to Hull on the 24th, which is the Sunday, the lunchtime kickoff on Sky.
Yeah.
Do you think that Middlesbrough will continue to struggle? Obviously, Hull are having a decent season. The likes of Jared Bowen, you know, really carrying them. Me and Jake touched on him last week and were saying we're surprised he's not been snapped up by a Premier League team yet. Do you think that they can go there and get something from Middlesbrough?
Yeah, definitely. Straight away, I'm looking at the result that I've wrote down, and I've put 2-1 to Hull City. And I've simply wrote that because Hull City, yes, are inconsistent, but when you've got players like Grosicki and Bowen, like you've mentioned, I think they're a match for anyone on the day. And in this struggling Borough side, I can't not put a Hull City victory. I would be, you know, it could be a draw. You know, it's difficult to say in this league, but Middlesbrough just simply can't buy a win at the minute. So for that reason, I'm going to go a Hull City win. What's your thoughts? What's your prediction for that one?
Yeah, I'm going to sit on the fence. I think Hull will get something out of the game. You know, they've been sort of steady so far this season. 6 wins, 6 defeats, 4 draws. So steady, 12th in the league. But obviously Middlesbrough are struggling. I think Hull will get a point. I think if I'm going to go for a score prediction, I'd say 1-1. I think both teams will score. But I think, you know, Hull have got that little bit about them this season to go away from home and pick up points, which they didn't do last season, which was obviously why they sort of finished where they did. I think this season they've learned and grown from that. Yeah, I think they will get a point. I think, yeah, it will be a close game. I just can't see any way Middlesbrough can win at the moment. Middlesbrough, I think, the most draws in the league, if I'm right in saying, so far this season. I think only Bristol City have got as many as them on 7. So
that's right. Yeah.
Yes. I'm gonna sit on the fence. I'm gonna say a draw. I'm gonna say 1-1 in this one. And moving on then to the second one. Obviously your team, Louis, I touched on as I was going through West Brom's fixtures coming up. You go to West Brom on Saturday the 23rd at 3 o'clock. West Brom, obviously, you said earlier, only lost one game so far this season. Mm. Every time I've seen them, they seem to get better and better as well. I said last week, standout player for me was Romain Sawyers. Do you expect anything from that game, or do you think you can go there and sort of run them close and get something from the game?
You know what? If I'm being realistic, Wednesday could go there and run them close, but if I were to pick a result, I'm going to say 2-0 to West Brom. The only... light at the end of the tunnel is that West Brom this season have played 7 at home and they've only managed to win 3. They have drawn 4, so they've still not lost. I just think, for me, this is, you know, if this tie is probably going to be one of the toughest games to go to on the road and pick up points. And I'd really love to say that Wednesday could go there and get a win. You know, if they're really on form and our, you know, midfield and a striker, let's say, have the game of their lives, then, yeah, potentially we can. But the attacking threat of West Brom and the goals that they're capable of, I can't not look past a home win for West Brom in this one, I'm afraid to say. But not only that, I think the international break now is probably... it's probably come at a right time for both teams, but a team like West Brom, who are top of the league, just scraped a 1-0 victory against Hull. They've got everything in the favour at the minute. They've won 2 on the bounce, unbeaten in a handful of games. Yeah, I'm gonna stick to 2-0 to West Brom. But a point on the road or anything other than that would be great. So we'll see.
I'm again gonna sit on the fence, and the reason I'm going to sit on the fence and say you'll get something from this game, obviously you said there that West Brom at 7 this season, you know, 3 wins, yeah, and 4 draws. So they are finding it, I wouldn't say difficult to win at home, obviously, you know, the top of the league. So it'd be silly of me to say that. But obviously 4 draws at home out of 7 games, you know, maybe a bit worrying. Just looking down your results over recent weeks, you know, every game, you seem to be sort of really in as well. There isn't a game...
here we are, yeah.
There isn't a game you've pulled away, or there isn't a game, you know, you've been battered either. You know, 1-0 with Cardiff, you beat Stoke 1-0, drew with Leeds. Unlucky to get that sort of last-minute defeat to Blackburn and then drew 2-0 with Swansea. So you're scoring goals, you're making it difficult for other teams to score. And I think there's something about this game, obviously, looking down all that... probably saying this now, you'll go and win 2-0 or sort of 3-4-0. But, you know, everything seems sort of for me to look at this and point to a draw. So, yeah, I'm going to stick my neck on the line. I'm going to say you're going to get something from this. And I think looking down, I'm going to say 1-1 again. So same as I said in the first fixture, I think you're going to go there and get something, which will massively help us if we can go to Derby and get something, because that would send us top on goal difference.
I hope you're right. Yeah, I hope you're right with that one.
But yeah, I can see you going there and getting something just off sort of looking over those sort of figures from recent weeks.
Yeah.
And then finally, Bristol City. Obviously, we mentioned got that 1-0 win away at Cardiff last time out against Nottingham Forest, who got the win over Derby County in their big sort of Clough Derby match. How do you see this game going? Obviously, you touched on earlier, Bristol haven't lost a lot of games this season. Nottingham Forest in and around that playoff picture, so too as Bristol. Sort of, who do you see sort of winning this one?
This is probably the most difficult game to predict, actually, from the round of games coming up. Fifth against sixth, isn't it? Both on 28 points. Basically, just simply because they're at home, I'm going to go Bristol City. They scored 25 goals this season. Having said that, Forest don't concede many either, but I'm still going to go for the home win. I think, yeah, there'll be goals in it. I'm just going to simply stick to 2-1. I think, I don't know why, I've just got a thing for Bristol City this season. I think they've just stepped up that level from previous seasons. Forest have still got that little bit of inconsistency about them, so I fully expect, you know, Bristol City to probably finish fourth or fifth this year. And games like this, you know, where it's 6-pointer, but, you know, it's going to give them a dramatic leap over the other side that they're playing. So, yeah, home win for me in that.
Yeah, I'm going to get off the fence and I'm going to go for a home win as well. As you mentioned, Forest have been a bit inconsistent so far this season. Bristol City playing really well. I think, yeah, home win is all I can see in this one. I think probably like a comfortable 2-0 or 3-1. I think, you know, Bristol will score a few goals and run out comfortable winners. So, yeah, home win for me in this one. I just can't see sort of anything past it. Bristol, very good at home as well. It's always one of the games that I worry going to, along with Brentford, when we see our away fixtures. Having said that, we've done quite well there in recent years, but it's still one place that I don't like going to. But with that, we're out of time. If you want to let everyone know, Louis, any projects you're involved in, any socials, now's a good time.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at Louis Shackshaft. You can visit my website, which is just my name, louisshackshaft.com. I do, I'm basically like a fan pundit for Sheffield Wednesday at Football League World, the Yorkshire Post newspaper, and Feast of Football Radio. So, just check out my Twitter page.
Yeah, and you can follow me on my Twitter at _James Vickers. And more importantly, you can follow us on the show at Championship Pod. Each episode is our pinned tweet, so give us a follow and you won't miss an upload. And there's plenty of stuff to get involved in throughout the week as well on there, so definitely give us a follow. But as I said, yeah, with that, we're out of time. Cheers for joining me today, Louis, and we'll see you after the international break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.